guys.
Hi.
I feel like I don't even have to share because all of the manifestations covered my whole teaching. But God said that we heard a lot of the word this weekend and that we have to live the word and do the word, right?
Yes.
It's important for us to not only be hearers, but doers of the word. So thanks, Dean, for asking me to teach. It's such a privilege to teach God's word, to share God's word, and to even know God's word. You know, five of you came up last night and shared verses on how to renew the mind. Do you know how crazy that is? Like, you guys just came up here and just shared. You guys taught. That should be your vision. Every single one of you, that should be your vision for your own life. Because sharing God's word is a privilege, and it's the coolest thing to do. Not only, even if you're a believer or you're not a believer, sharing the word to a believer changes their life. Whether they've heard that verse 15 times or this is the first time they're hearing it, it changes lives. And to an unbeliever, it brings them from death unto life if they believe what you're sharing. So we can go to Romans chapter 10. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, a classic. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So the moment that we believed that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, the moment we confessed him as our Lord, our lives changed forever. We're saved. That's it. Death unto life, we're saved. Born again of God's Spirit, that can never, ever leave us. Ever. God said it today. It can never, ever leave us. With that being said, what is our true nature now? What is our real identity? You want to be bold and confident living the word? You have to know what your identity means. So we can go to Romans 6. Romans 6, verses 6 and 7. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. So we're free from sin. Our old man nature was crucified when Jesus Christ was crucified, right? It's done. That's our old man nature. It's gone. We don't ever have to live like that again. And when Jesus Christ was raised up, it was available for us to have a new nature. It was available. It's important for us to know this because right now in the world, everyone is changing who they are. One day, they can be a dog, and the next day, they're a cat. And that's just how it goes in the world. But this whole weekend, what did we learn? That we don't have to be conformed to this world, but that we'd be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We don't have to conform to this world. We don't have to change our identity from something to another thing. Our identity stands with Jesus Christ. That is who we identify with. Nothing else. That is our true identity, with Jesus Christ. No one can tell you differently, because God's word is the only true thing, not people's opinions. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's God in Christ in you. That's your true identity. Son of God with all power. That's who you really are. That's the real you. And you should never let someone tell you otherwise, because that's the real you. In order for us to live a bold and confident life, in order for us to live boldly and confidently doing the word, we have to be bold and confident with our identification, what it means to us, and who we are. So before we get into this, I'm going to ask you a couple questions, and I want you guys to raise your hands, okay? How many people in here would consider themselves to be loud? Tessa, please, can you raise your hand? Wow. Oh, Stacy's sister. Okay. How many people would consider themselves to be quiet? Yeah, they don't. They really don't, which is crazy. Okay, anyways, I wanted to just say that because I consider myself loud, even though I don't want to believe it about myself. I'm a very loud person.
Yeah.
But does that make me bold and confident just because I'm loud? Because I'll look at Erin, and she's quiet. She's very quiet compared to me, but I think she's way bolder than I am. Something happens, and Erin's there, and she's just giving you the word. Whether you're off of it or you need to hear it, Erin's giving it to you. She's one of the quietest people I know, but she's bold and she stands. Boldness and confidence does not come with volume at all. You can be the loudest person in the room and not stand for God's word at all. You could have zero confidence. Believing is how you gain confidence. Being bold, being confident, you have to believe. Believing is what makes you confident, because you're putting your trust in God and not yourself. We're not trustworthy people, unfortunately, because we're imperfect. But God's perfect, and God's trustworthy. He says it in his word. So us believing God makes us bold and confident. Us believing who we are in Christ makes us bold and confident. Us living our true identity makes us bold and confident. No one else in the world is going to tell you this. No one else in the world is going to tell you what God's word says about you. No one. The boldest thing we can do is live God's word, because you're not going to find that when you go back to school. That is who you are. You are a son of God with all power. You lack nothing. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4:17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we. It's pretty simple, right? If you can believe Romans 10:9-10, you can believe this verse. Still the same God. It's God in Christ in us. It's God in Christ in us. As he is, so are we. Do you think that Jesus Christ was a scaredy cat? Okay, do you think he questioned who he was?
No.
Do you think he questioned his identity?
No.
Do you think he believed that God loved him?
Yes.
Do you believe that God loves you?
Yes.
Good. Because if you don't, you really, really need to get help with that, because it's important. God loves you. He handpicked you. He loves you. You are his beloved masterpiece. It says so many things about us in the word, how God loves us, how God wants to take care of us. We hear it in manifestations all the time. God loves you, and that is really important for you to believe. Jesus Christ was the only one to be tempted by the devil himself. He took on our greatest enemy of all time and defeated him. He was not scared. He stood. He defeated him, and he fulfilled God's will. And you know who he did it for? Us. For me and you. For every single person in this room. For every single born-again believer. That's who he did it for. He did it. Matthew chapter 4. And we don't have to do a single thing. The hardest thing for us is to believe. Do you guys realize that? That's the hardest thing we have to do, is just believe. We don't have to face on the things that Jesus Christ faced on, thankfully. Matthew 4. Verses 1 through 4. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The first thing Jesus Christ was tempted with was his identification. If thou be the Son of God. He didn't hesitate to say that it is written. He didn't even let that thought stay in his mind. He said, it is written. He knew who he was. He believed who he was. He didn't even entertain that thought. That's how we need to be. A thought comes in our mind, I'm worthless. No, you're not. Show me where it says in God's word that you're worthless. Show me. He didn't even entertain that thought. He also didn't eat for 40 days and 40 nights. I get really mad when I don't eat in like, 4 hours, and I get like really mad. Can't think straight. Everyone's making me really angry. He didn't eat for 40 days and 40 nights, and he still wasn't like, ooh, that bread sounds so good. Ooh, that bread sounds so good. He didn't even think about that. He just knew that the adversary was wrong. He knew who he was. He believed who he was. He didn't even have to prove to the adversary who he was. The adversary knows who we are. He knows who we are. We don't have to prove who we are to him. When he questions you, you don't have to prove yourself, and you don't have to prove yourself to anyone. You know who you are. God knows who you are. God knows who he made you to be. You just have to live it. Right before this, in Matthew 3:17, it literally says that this is my beloved son. That's God saying that about Jesus Christ. You can read it. You can read this on your own, because you can read the word on your own. It won't hurt you. But right before this, God says that this is my beloved son. And then the first thing the adversary does is tempt his identification. You don't think he wouldn't do that to you? He'll do it to you, and you have to be sharp. You have to be ready to renew your mind. You have to be ready to bring it back to God's word. I am not worthless. I'm a son of God with all power. I've been called out. That's who you are. You're not worthless. Jesus Christ stood on his identification. He believed who he was. He believed it. And he stood on it. And you can do that too. Jesus Christ was a person. He was human. He was a man. We're people, right? Jesus Christ is our greatest example. I have older siblings. I love them to pieces. I look at them and I want to be exactly like them. And they're great. And it's great for us to have those kind of examples in life, where there are people that stand on the word, and we have that. Whether you have siblings or not, you have believers that will stand on God's word with you. And Jesus Christ was our greatest example of all time. He fulfilled everything perfectly for us so that we don't have to do anything but believe. That's what he did for us. And this is the kind of boldness and confidence that we need to have, that we can have. That we just stand on who we are and we don't waver. That's it. We've learned this whole weekend that we don't conform. We transform by the renewing of your mind. Our minds are so powerful. They can tell us one wrong thing and that's it for the rest of our life and we're believing it. Or we can transform. We can renew our mind and we can bring it back to God's word. And we can live a more than abundant life. Jesus Christ came to make that available to us. The moment we were born again, we received the complete package of spirit within. It lacks absolutely nothing because our Lord and Savior lacked absolutely nothing when he completed the work for us. John 19. John 19, we're going to read verse 30. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. He fulfilled God's will. He fulfilled it. He fulfilled all the law. He bought back what Adam lost, which was our spirit life. He fulfilled it. We don't have to do it. He fulfilled it. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2:10. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. We're complete. We lack absolutely nothing. The second part of that verse is, which is the head? Who's the head?
Christ.
Right. And are we his body?
Yes.
Okay, so when your head goes somewhere, does your body go?
Yes.
with it? That would be really weird if it didn't, right?
Yes.
It'd be really weird if your body went and your head didn't go either, right?
Yeah.
It'd be really weird. Okay, so wherever the body goes, the head goes. Wherever the head goes, the body goes. Put that into perspective, what we just read. Wherever we go, Jesus Christ is right there. It's pretty simple. When you think of it as like your own 2 feet, they follow you wherever you go, right? They're the places that, like, they're the things that are taking you. Okay, well, if your body's walking, your head's following. Wherever you go, wherever you are, Jesus Christ is right next to you. You're speaking God's word, he's right there. He's in you. He's in you. He's not going to leave. He can't. He has no other choice. He has to stay. He can't leave us. It's our nature. This is our new nature. This is our identification. That's who we are. 1 Peter 2. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So I'm going to give you a little bit of definitions. Chosen is elect. God voted you in. He wanted you in. Royal is kingly in nature. That's our nature. Holy, we're God's saints. And peculiar is a purchased possession. That's who you are. That's who you are. We're God's household of saints. And with those new titles, and because of God's love for you, because everything that Jesus Christ accomplished, we have a new identity, we have a brand new set of rights, and we have a whole lot of privileges and a whole lot of authority. Did you know that you can use the name of Jesus Christ? You have that authority. You have that authority, and that's the most powerful name. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to read verses 7 through 11. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. We were given 9 manifestations. We can kick out devil spirits. We can know things beyond the senses realm. How many times are our senses wrong? Exactly. We can know things beyond the senses realm. We have the wisdom of God available to us whenever we want it. We also have the word of God available to us all the time, because reading the word won't kill you. So read the word on your own. But when we manifest God's power, when we speak in tongues and interpret, when we prophesy, we're edifying each other. We're taking care of each other. God speaks to us. Like, how cool is that? That God just speaks to us. God tells us that he cares about us, that he loves us, that he wants to have a relationship with us, that we are his people, that we are his kids, that he did choose us. That's what God is saying about us. It's not just like someone saying something nice. Like, this is God. This is the Father that created the heavens and the earth. This is the God that made you, who created you, who gave you spirit life. This is the God we're talking about. That's the God that spoke to you throughout this whole weekend. And do you know what we have to do? Believe. That's just so difficult, right? Believing is just super, super difficult, right? We can't do it? No, but we can. We can. We can do it. We've been doing it our whole life, really. If you believe that you're going to do something, guess what? You're going to do it. It's as simple as that. The hardest thing we have to do is turn and look to God and say, hey, God, I need help today. All the work's done for us. And that identification is in us. That's who we are. We don't really have to do anything. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John 5, verses 14 through 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. That word confidence is boldness. It's free in speaking. God hears us and he answers us. He answers our prayers. He wants to take care of us. Whenever we ask anything according to his will, he hears us and he's gonna take care of it. We have to have patience, but he's gonna take care of it. It says that we have the petitions. It's past tense. It's a done deal. God's gonna take care of it. We never have to worry about a single thing ever again because God is always, always, always on our side. He fights for us. Our needs will be taken care of. 1 Thessalonians 5. Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. We have the one body to always lean on, to stick together. We always can go to each other. We have great men of God that are willing and able to give us God's word, to give us counsel that will actually help our lives. We have so much to be thankful for. We have each other. No one, and I mean absolutely no one in the world, can comfort you, can edify you, can love you if they do not know God's word. There is no point in having your closest friend be an unbeliever. What happens if you need to be prayed for? They're going to pray for you? What happens if something really, really, really bad happened in your life? And you just need to be loved. You need to be comforted with God's word. What are they going to say to you? Oh, bro, that sucks. I'm sorry to hear that. Like, I don't know what to tell you. That world sucks. Thanks, I know that already. You're telling me things I already know. Worldly people aren't going to help you. They're not. They're not worth it. There's great confidence and great boldness when believers are doing their thing. When you see the body working together, that's boldness, that's confidence. And when you're doing it with them, you're bold and you're confident because everyone else around you is living their life, is living their true identity, is living boldly and living confidently. Proverbs 27:17. Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. So we sharpen each other with God's word. We remind each other of who we are. We remind each other what God's word says. We help each other be more confident. We help each other be more bold. When I go out witnessing, there's times where, like, I'll go out witnessing with Shannon, and I'll be like, I really don't want to talk to them. And she's like, no, but you're gonna. And then guess what? I talk to them. It's happened multiple times before. I've gone witnessing, and I'll be like, I don't want to do it. And then she's like, I'm like, okay. That's it. She just helps me live more boldly and more confidently. That's my girl. If I'm having a hard time, Shannon's like, all right, let's go. God loves you. Pick yourself back up. All right, I'm picking myself back up. And then I'm able to walk out more boldly, more confidently. Because that's what friends do. That's what friends do. You can't have a worldly friendship and expect that. You can't. I'm sorry to say that, but you actually can't. And thankfully, it's not a lonely walk at all. God didn't make this a lonely walk. He gave us a family. And we have a lot to be thankful for. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I wasn't lying when I said I'm loud, so I thought I was. Surprise! 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What's really cool about this verse is that that word new is the Greek word gnosko, which means to know experientially. Jesus Christ did not know sin experientially. He did not experience sin at all. So when he completed all the work for us, when he accomplished all the work, he never experienced sin once. And we know that, we've seen it in the word, but he's never experienced it. He's never experienced it. But he became sin for us just so that we could be made righteous. And righteousness, you know, is the ability to stand before God without any sense of fear, doubt, guilt, or condemnation. We know that, and that's who we are. We might know something, but does that mean we believe it? Right. We're not condemned people, we're righteous people. We don't have to be afraid. Our identification is righteousness. And since we are righteous, that means that we don't have to stand in the presence of the adversary with fear, doubt, guilt, worry, condemnation. We can stand boldly, and we can stand confidently, and we can give the adversary the biggest middle finger in the world because he deserves it. Jesus Christ lived a more than abundant life. Jesus Christ lived a life that was confident, that was boldness, and guess what? So can we. Jesus Christ was righteous. We have that same righteousness. Proverbs 28:1. Proverbs 28, verse 1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Are you righteous?
Yes.
So does that mean that you're as bold as a lion?
Yes.
You gotta act like it, because you are. You're as bold as a lion. We stand our ground. We don't cower. We don't waver. We don't break. We stand. We have the power of God in us. The one that created the heavens and the earth, that power is in us. The one that raised Jesus Christ up from the dead, that power is in us. That's his power. And we have the right, and we have all of the authority to exercise this power. Someone wants to give you a hard time, it's God in Christ in you. Someone wants to bully you, guess what? It's still God in Christ in you. Your mind wants to tell you what God's word does not say, that you suck, that you're worthless. Guess what? It's still God in Christ in you. You still are his beloved masterpiece. He still cares about you. He still loves you. You want to speak the word to someone and they don't want to receive it, they say it's dumb. Guess what? It's still God in Christ in you. And when he comes back, you're going with him. Maybe they're not. That sucks for them. You're not losing anything. You're not losing anything. You lack nothing. You're complete. And that's your identification. You're complete. Your identification is with Jesus Christ. We'll close in Romans chapter 12. But this weekend is not just a weekend for us to be with our friends. It's a weekend for us to know what God's word says about us and to go out there and live it and do it. Most of you guys are starting school soon. Don't you want to share what has been happening this weekend? How people are getting healed? How you've heard God's word? How you've learned that you can change your mind? Don't you want to share that with your friends? Don't you want to see them at the gathering? Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We have the power to tell our mind to shut up. We have the power to renew our minds back to God's word at any given time. Put God's word to the test. Watch him absolutely blow your mind. You don't belong to this world. You are bought back. There is nothing in this world that it has to offer you. It has nothing to offer you. You don't belong to it. You don't identify with it. So quit acting like it. You're a son of God with all power. Your identification is with Jesus Christ. If you believe that, I am telling you right now, you can live a more than abundant life. You can live a bold and a confident life. You don't have to have fear. You don't. You can live a more bold, a more confident life the moment you decide that your identification is with Jesus Christ, that you are a son of God with all power, that you can renew your mind back to God's word. You identify with Christ. So go out there, go speak God's word, and go live it. I love you guys.